This is a PDP way after dark. Way after dark. Hey there. Hey there, kids.
PDP after dark.
PDP long time after dark. Getting the fun zone in.
We're hitting that midnight oil with you over there in Florida.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it'd be like the 12:45 oil right now.
Yeah.
Something like that.
See, and thing is, like, you're much better than I am because I couldn't be bothered to do a PDP while I was on my jaunts across Europe. To be fair, it was on my honeymoon. But you have done a show from Panama and now a show from Florida.
Yeah.
And I'm just here just living the dream.
Oddly
while you're
enough,
working your ass off.
I could have been in Panama City in both of those places and was not in either. Well, I flew through Panama City. There's a Panama City, Florida, too, though. There was a commercial on TV today that was like, visit Panama City Beach. And I was like...
You were like, I was just there.
Oh, that's weird. I flew through the real one of those the other day. Panama City looks very cool. I didn't get to spend any time there. It looks amazing. It has, like, this incredible skyline when we flew by, which, you know, I guess is like a massive international shipping...
Sure. There's a canal there, I heard.
There is.
And the U.S. won that tournament.
They did indeed. And
so the future is bright for the WBC.
The future is indeed bright. The U.S. has now won the WBC, the U-12, the U-15, the U-18 baseball World Cups all in the last like 18 months. And women's baseball, the U.S. is starting off pretty strong here. The Women's Baseball World Cup. They played today. They played the night game. And I did not see a final score. I'm assuming they won. But they did.
This is now a Team USA
International Baseball Podcast is what this is from now on. The United States knocked off the Netherlands tonight, 18-0, and that's after beating Puerto Rico 14-0 yesterday. They're kind of the haves and the have-nots in this tournament, as there are in a lot of international competition. Like, you look at, you know, Olympic basketball, it's usually that way, too. It'll be interesting because Japan has won 5 straight of these Women's World Cups, and so anybody to try to knock off Japan is like... Right now, it's like the come with the king, son. Come with the queen in this tournament. You best not miss. You know what I'm saying? We're not here to talk about any of that. We're here to talk because it is a Thursday night, and your Colorado Rockies, 6 hours ago, came away with a walk-off home run. One Ian Desmond, a 2-run shot to sink the San Diego Padres. Kirby Yates, not up to the task. A guy named Kirby. Couldn't make it happen in the ninth. And Rockies win the series over the San Diego Padres, which looked like it was going to go from, they sweep the Braves in a 4-game set in Atlanta, to losing a series at home to the Padres, and then Ian Desmond rides to the rescue. Just how everybody drew it up.
It would have been one of the more infuriating series of the season had they not come away with a victory today. To lose that on the heels of the ridiculous stretch you had of 46 consecutive games against teams with a 500 or better record, in which they went 30-16, by the way, to come home and lose to the last place Padres, that would have been a fork in the ribs.
Yeah, would not have been fun. Would not have been promising. For this next stretch, because it's a big stretch coming up here now. The Cardinals, the suddenly scorching hot over the last month or so, Cardinals come to town, and the Rockies, after the win today, now a game back of first place. The Arizona Diamondbacks are still right now maintaining their lead on the division, but the Rockies have created a little bit of separation with the Dodgers behind them in third place, which is kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy right now. Rockies are chasing down one team. If you would have thought on August 24th it would be a 3-team race and the Rockies would not be looking up at two teams, I think that would come as a surprise to a lot of us, and they're in a hell of a good spot right now. They've won 8 out of 10. I saw Jenny Kavnar tweeted that in their last 9 wins, 5 of their last 9 have come from behind, and several of those have been games in which they trailed after the eighth inning,
which is something that the Rockies
they hadn't
did
done that
not
at all this
do.
Year.
The first time they did that was that game that DJ hit the home run in the ninth inning in San Francisco, which really kicked off this great stretch for the Rockies. That was the first game they had won this season when trailing after eight, and they've done it 5 times in the last 11 games since then. Just not even just since then, just 5 times in the last 11 games, which is absolutely absurd. It's been like a week of signature wins for the Rockies, which, like, you get those, like, three or four of those maybe in a season if you're lucky. And the Rockies, I feel like, just have just had them, like, hand over fist over the last couple of weeks.
And it's a big time of year for it. You know, it was nice having these stretches at various times in May or in June or in July or whatever, but to have this at the end of August is pretty incredible. And, you know, last week we had a lengthy conversation about how Ian Desmond had turned into a disaster again, and Ian Desmond over the last week has rescued himself once more. So maybe what it takes is us having episodes where we talk incessantly about how bad Ian Desmond has been, and then Ian Desmond becomes good again.
It's
got to be the solution.
If one time you said Ian Desmond might be good, now you have to lord it over every single person.
Yeah.
Whoever said Ian Desmond is bad.
And you have
no
to
matter
block
how much of a dick it makes you sound like.
Who thinks otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the only thing.
So just remember.
Sense. Yeah.
Just remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Of course.
But the beauty of this is that Ian Desmond is still just barely hitting over the Mendoza line against right-handed pitching this season.
Yeah.
Even with this last week,
you
know, he had a big two-run triple off a righty yesterday. He had the big walk-off two-run homer off a righty today. All of these are great things. Again, no one wishing ill will on Ian Desmond. But it's such an easy thing when you see the platoon ability the Rockies have on their roster with Ryan McMahon, who has come up with a majority of great big hits over the last couple of weeks. Since his recall against right-handed pitching, he is hitting about .285 with an OPS over 800. And now Ian Desmond just, like I said, barely over .200 on the year with a .650 OPS against right-handed pitching compared to over .900 against lefties hitting nearly .300. It is a very, very, very easy platoon for the Rockies and Bud Black. And Bud Black seems to not want to really do much of that at all. And it'd be one thing if Ian Desmond was like a great glove guy at first base, like, oh, you know, he may struggle sometimes, but he got to keep that glove in there at first.
Yeah.
And
the Tony Walters, you know, we'll call it.
Sure. Like, he is not that. I mean, Ryan McMahon got two at bats in that Padres series. He walked and he, like, got out today.
Garrett Hampson didn't play at all and then got sent down.
Yep. And, you know, it's you know, Ryan McMahon was coming on big time, especially in that Dodgers series. He had those two huge home runs, including the walk-off, getting more consistent at bats, he had the big hit, a pinch hit in the ninth inning in that first game against the Braves, and then just can't seem to find the field, which is so bizarre because you think you'd want a guy like that to be playing more and getting more consistent at bats. He is a big time prospect for the Rockies. He does have a lot of power potential. He has shown a very solid hitting acumen, especially against right-handed pitching, and he can't see the field. I don't know about that at all.
Yeah. It seems a little strange. Thankfully we're only a week away from finally getting 40-man rosters with expansion across Major League Baseball, which is archaic and unfair, as baseball Twitter said this week. Well, not baseball Twitter, Bob Nightingale.
Yeah.
But
I was
going to
say,
that's not a conversation we really have to have. But I'm hoping that once all of these roles are available, when the 40-man spots are eligible to be added active on the major league side, that guys will start, you know, kind of forcing their way into the lineup on a more regular basis. But if they haven't been able to do that when they're on the 25-man, I don't know why they'd be able to do it on the 40-man. So maybe I'm just making things up. Maybe it's all wishful thinking.
It probably is. But, like, it's, you know, it's frustrating because obviously you're seeing what Ryan McMahon could have been if he was given consistent at bats all year. I know we've been belaboring that point quite a bit over the last, you know, several episodes that we've done throughout the year, but it's becoming an issue, you know. And I know it's hard to make that complaint after this series where Ian Desmond had a couple of huge hits, including a massive walk-off win, but we got 5 more weeks left in the regular season. The Rockies are right there. They are a game out of first place. They are tied for the second wild card spot. Here we are in the year of our Lord 2018 on August 23rd. It's at this point, it's not about feelings. It is about putting the best 25 men on the 25-man roster, about putting the best 9 in there on any given day. And Ian Desmond has been awesome against left-handed pitching this year.
And that's
keep
good.
Him in there against
that's
lefties.
A good thing to have. A platoon
and
situation
Ryan
is
has
a good
been great
situation.
Since righties. It's a yeah. good. Usually, yeah. Normally a good team who sees this platoon punching them in the face is going to take advantage of it. And for whatever reason, Bud Black is not. Now, we don't know the insides of the clubhouse. We don't know what the dynamics are there. If, you know, whatever. We don't know that aspect of it, I guess. But my goodness, it seems so cut and dry. The fact that it's not happening is puzzling at best and maddening at worst.
But the Rockies keep winning. And
yes.
I think Ryan Freemeyer is very often a voice of reason on Rockies Twitter. And Ryan had a good point the other day in which he said, you know, it's the Rockies winning right now and being able to discuss what the Rockies could have done at the trade deadline or could continue to do to optimize their lineup to get better. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. Like, you can acknowledge that the Rockies are winning and they're playing well right now, and that's fun, and we're all having fun with it. And also the fact that they can do things to get better. I mean, we're just barely removed from a stretch in which they lost 7 out of 9. They had that disastrous road trip, and then they lost 3 straight to the Dodgers and the Pirates. The Pirates series coming first, and then the Dodgers before that 4-game series win with 3 straight wins over the Dodgers from August 8th to the 10th. That was the start of this now 10 wins in 12 games for the Rockies. It's great that they're playing well, but you can still do things to get better, and I think we've slipped for whatever reason into this dumb, like, you're with us or you're with the terrorist mentality on Rocky's Twitter, especially of, like, you can't second guess anything about the organization because they're winning. Well,
so,
if
no,
they're playing
is,
well,
yeah.
like, if you can get better, isn't that the whole point of sports? Like, there was a column the other day about how the Rockies have some of the best depth in since when?
Well,
what?
Yeah,
and then when that conversation came out of, like, no, they don't, and it was evaluated by FanGraphs or whoever, then, like, that was a freak-out point. It's like, it's possible to acknowledge that the Rockies are simultaneously playing well and also have question areas. Like, those two things, we live in a world where those can coexist at the same time.
It's correlation not equal to causation.
Right,
kind
exactly.
of thing.
Like, the Dodgers are a team that has a plus, like, 118 run differential, and and they're right now
plus
in the Hunt division title, and they have a disaster of a bullpen. Like, those
plus,
things
plus 106
exist
run differential, which is the best in the National League, by the way.
And they're in
and
third
the Dodgers place. Are 4 games out, you know. The Rockies are still -8, and they're 13 games over 500. Like, the ridiculous thing was in that trip where they went 5-1, I think they would have ended up that road trip, like, +2, because the one game they lost by 11 runs. You know, the Braves game. Yeah, they won by 2, won by 6, won by 2, won by 2. So that's 12. So then and they won by 4, so that's 16 minus 11. Yeah, so they would have been +5 on that entire trip. And they went 5-1, but they lost
crazy.
The one game by 11. And the Dodgers recently did almost the exact opposite. So in this horrible run that the Dodgers have been on recently, which all their losses have come by, 3 runs or less, in this terrible stretch, starting with that series with the Rockies, they had a game where lost all those games in Colorado by 3 runs or less. And then they went out and they won a game by, let's see, God, where is it? They won a game by 10 runs at Seattle. Then they lost the next night by 1. And then they won the next game against Seattle by 11 runs. And then they lost the next 3 by a combined 7 runs. You know,
wow.
So that's a run differential can skew things a little bit.
Yeah, that is
like
true.
The Rockies have been playing good baseball, winning close games, and the losses they've had have been stupidly big losses. The Dodgers have been losing all those close games, and the wins they've had have been massive blowouts.
And you know what? I think I'd rather have the blowout losses, you know? Like,
hey, it'd be great if we could have, you know, almost like a team entropy kind of thing where the Rockies win the division with a negative run differential. That would send so many people into just blinding rage about Coors and about the Rockies.
It makes no sense with Coors.
Oh, it would be incredible. Oh,
it's going to be so great. Here's a question that I want to pose to those of you in the PDP world. To me, there is not much lamer than if your team doesn't win the championship in its sport and you still buy the merchandise. Like people who have AFC Champions t-shirts.
I have 2007 NL Champion stuff, you know?
NL Champion stuff. And here is my question. I own a bunch of NL Champion stuff. I own my 07 World Series hat. They lost that World Series.
I got my 07 World Series Tulo jersey. I got a
2017 postseason hat. the division for Rockies fans has become like this unattainable carrot that has been dangled in front of the franchise for 25
years.
Sure,
I see where you're going with this. Yeah.
If the Rockies win the National League West, even if they got bounced in the division round, I'm still buying that t-shirt.
I mean, that's because that's such an accomplishment.
It is.
Because it is an all-year 162-game event. Like, especially for last year, too, the Rockies made the playoffs great. They got bounced in a game, and then it was over, you know, which is still an accomplishment. They were in a playoff spot pretty much the entire year. It was over quickly. And you're not going to, you know, go for a wild card and be like, yeah, this is great. Love the wild card merch. A division title, I think that would mean something. Like, I do. And if they make the playoffs one way or the other, whatever. But, you know, a division title guarantees you, three games at the very least. And it's now, at least. And I think it would be, 25 years of frustration being taken out to finally get it, especially in a year when the Dodgers had won 5 years in a row, the D-backs are still a good team, to be able to say that you fought through it and you fought with this team, because this team never, ever seems to quit. It is an unbelievable team this year. It's honestly, right now, as of August 23rd, it is my favorite Rockies team, because it's not like it was back in the 90s when they were just, you know, bludgeoning dudes and hopefully to hang on in some 10-9 games. Like, they're playing, they have great starting pitching. The starting pitching for this team has been fantastic, especially the top three that they have. And they keep them in the game, and then they just always seem to find a way to win these late games. Like, I know I'm speaking by the recency bias here because it's been so much in the last 2 weeks, but my God, do you remember a stretch like this where they just kept winning every single game late? The closest I can think of is the start of the 07 Rocktober run when they won all those games against the Dodgers.
Yeah, that was such a weird remember, series.
Right? Yeah, when the homer like and they kept winning all those games late, like...
Yeah,
you know, it's
Spilly had that crazy sliding catch in the ninth inning to end that game.
Right. Like, I mean, honestly, this is three walk-offs in the last five home games. You've won five games in the last 2 weeks when you trailed after eight. Like, come on.
That never happens.
No.
I mean, and that's not just like, that never happens for the Rockies. That just doesn't happen in baseball.
No,
like,
that's really hard to do.
Teams that lead after eight innings have a winning percentage in baseball of like 965. Like, it's not easy to beat a team when you're trailing after eight innings.
No, because usually the best pitcher in theory is coming on to pitch for that team.
Right.
With the best bullpen arm, I guess.
And Kirby Yates not getting the job done.
Hey, Kirby Yates has been great for the Padres
really
since they traded Brad Hand. Yeah.
I just can't take that name seriously. Kirby Yates.
Yeah.
Kirby Yates. I had a neighbor named Kirby when I was a kid.
I just remember the video game character.
Story. Yeah, the video game character. Kirby. I don't think I ever actually played that game.
Super Smash Brothers. He's good. Super Smash Brothers.
It's a thrilling story I just told. the Rockies now open, yet another pivotal stretch. And yet, it's somewhat cooled compared to where they've been. The series against the Braves finished off the stretch of above 500 opponents. And yes, a couple of those teams had slipped by below 500 since the Rockies
not
played,
when they played
them. But it doesn't matter. That's not what the stat measures. So what was it? 36, 43, however many games they played?
It was 46 consecutive, and they went 30-16.
Consecutive games.
That's a record, by the way.
Yeah, the most games in Major League history for any one team against opponents over 500. And the Rockies went 30-16. That's remarkable.
I mean, can you imagine, like, like this team who was like struggled to hit for the most part this year, who has had so many bullpen implosions? Like, can you imagine this team with a league average bullpen?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like, they'd be leading the division by 10 games.
Yeah, I try not to think about that because it just makes me depressed. But, you know, it's they're saving the drama for the end, and that's fun.
They're saving the drama for
your mom.
Michelle Obama. Oh, what?
Or the Spinorama.
Wilmer Valderrama.
Larry Johnson, Grandmama. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Remember Grandmama? I wonder what Larry Johnson does these days.
Probably lives out the Grandmama royalties.
Probably.
But no, this is like a chance for the Rockies. I know they have a tough series with the Cardinals coming in, who have been the best team in baseball this month. But, you know, last month, the A's were the best team in baseball, and they came to Coors Field and got swept. So we'll see if they can repeat that. But after that, they play two at the Angels, who have been scuffling mightily over the last couple of months, then four more at San Diego, and then three at home against San Francisco before you start playing, quote-unquote, contending teams again. I mean, this is a stretch where, you know, the Rockies could make some ground up, but the problem is they haven't really played that well against teams that are under 500. So they got to use this as fuel, and hopefully they can get the Cardinals, because the Cardinals are so goddamn annoying.
They're
playing so well right now. And this weekend, it's, you know, Senzatella versus Michaelis. Miles Michaelis has been outstanding for the Cardinals, coming over from Japan, the Lizard King, against Senzatella. Then you got Herman Marquez against John Gant, not Ron Gant, former Cardinal. And then you have Tyler Anderson, who has struggled a lot recently against Austin Gomber. That's a name that somebody has on Sunday. So you're not facing Jack Flaherty, which is good. You're not facing Luke Weaver, which is good. I mean, Michaelis is outstanding, but and this is what you're a fan for, man. These games late, you got 5 weeks left, and you're looking to to make some history. I mean, with this team, how could you not love this team, you know, with the way they're playing right now? I know this team's got its warts, clearly, you know. Like, you know, Brian Shaw gave it up today, but also it wasn't helped by a Trevor Story error. And to be fair, Brian Shaw has been pretty good since he's been coming off the DL. Jake McGee has been all right lately. Wade Davis has looked better as of late. Like, you know, and then you got the Cy Young winner, Scott Oberg, on the team. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott Oberg, the major league wins all-time leader. For a single season winning percentage.
All-time win percentage leader.
All-time win percentage leader for a single season of Major League history, Scott Oberg. Just incredible. Incredible stuff. There was a point the other day on Twitter.com. Brian Kilpatrick made the point that we've acknowledged before as well, and I think it bears repeating, especially in this stretch. It's amazing how when the Rockies' rotation started consistently getting into the seventh inning, the bullpen got markedly better.
Who knew?
Funny how that works out.
Who knew? But I think we've kind of buried the lead a little bit here today about some of the most major news in Rockies fandom today.
Well, the game wasn't on TV today, so I don't know anything that happened.
That's right. Because, you know, every pitch,
hold water,
every moment, except 12 games.
Except for almost 10% of the regular season.
Except for 10% of the regular season.
Other than
and
every pitch.
Especially games against, you know, division opponents late in the season.
In August. Yeah, why would you carry those on a regional sports network?
But there was
some news today.
Worst
deal. There was some news today that I heard, I think.
Matthew Holliday is back with the Colorado Rockies.
What?
Matthew Thomas Holliday is back with the Colorado Rockies.
Huh. When did this happen?
This happened today, Tyler.
Wow.
One of the greatest hitters in franchise history, one of the best players in franchise history, Matthew Holliday, is back.
Huh.
We've been calling for a mup for about a month now with Matt Holliday.
And, you know, I think we were all ready to see Matt Holliday just because we were excited to see Matt Holliday, but I think the Rockies did a good job with him. They just signed him on July 28th, so he wasn't even in the minor leagues for a month.
And 15 games in the minors. He crushed, but yeah. He had 15 games in the minors. Yeah,
and as much as this makes me want to die, Matt Holliday's 38. So, he didn't play this entire season, so it took him a little while.
He started the year doing Sirius XM radio.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm okay with them keeping him in the minors for a little while. They got him acclimated. They got him up to speed. He's not going to be an everyday guy. He's going to be somebody who you hopefully get some good at-bats from off the bench. But it'll be interesting to see the way that they work him into games coming up over this next week, especially before rosters expand.
I think it's a wonderful call by the Rockies, because obviously they wanted to make sure he got his feet under him before they called him up. 15 games, good enough, considering he hit 350 in Albuquerque. I think getting him back is huge for everybody. I think there's no wrong reason to bring him up. You get the team fired up because they got one of the best players of franchise history coming back, a good clubhouse guy by all accounts. You've got a guy who the fans can get behind because a guy they know, guy's familiar. He has won in this stadium. He's won with this team. He knows what it takes to win with this team. And it's a guy who's still clearly, based on his minor league acumen so far this year and what we saw from his swing, he's still got something left in the tank, at least against lefties. He hit a ball today that there wasn't a 30-mile-an-hour wind blowing in from left field, would have been 15 rows back. So
yeah, and he said after the game, "I thought I got it pretty good, and then I remember there was a tornado blowing in from left field."
Yeah,
one of those afternoons in Denver. Yeah, in late summer.
It was one of those where he went off the bat and I jumped up off the couch and I was like, "Oh!" And then it landed 15 feet short of the wall and I was like, "Oh, damn it! I'm that guy." I just wanted it so badly. But I think everybody can benefit from this. Everybody involved, what front office, fans, players, I think it's going to be a good move because you can bring him off the bat or off the bench late in games like you did with Jason Giambi back in 2009 when he was your ace in the hole when it came to a late inning pinch hit. He can still hit lefties really, really well. I'm very, very excited about this. I don't think he's going to be a starter every day, nor should he be, obviously, but I think it's a wonderful move, and I think they did it well by Matt, and I think they did well by the Rockies fans. I think they gave him a little bit of a carrot here for Rockies fans so they can come back and see Matt Holliday. And at the same time, he's still in the middle of the playoff race now. He's in a pennant chase, and he's still got some left in the tank, it looks like. So I'm really excited to see the first big hit that Matt Holliday has for this team for the first time in 10 years.
And it was pretty cool to see that reaction from the fans today. I mean, it's a weekday day game, so it's not a massive sellout crowd that they got to welcome him back to Coors Field. But it looked like there was a pretty good group there at the park today. I don't know what the official attendance was, but as I tap dance to try to get to the page where I can look it up, it seemed like it was a good crowd, and they got a good ovation. And I thought it was cool on the Padres telecast that they let that ovation play out. 30,625 for a Thursday afternoon day game, so a pretty good crowd. But this weekend, this is going to be huge, and it's against his former team, which is interesting too, with the Cardinals coming to town.
Right. So I'm a huge fan of it, and I'm really glad that it finally happened because, man, it needed to.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And finally, you get a guy off the bench because I know the Rockies have the best depth in all of baseball according to certain websites, but they don't. So getting somebody who can actually get a hit off the bench in a late situation and get some power and some pop, especially against left-handed pitching, man, that's awesome.
I just don't get that. I don't get that argument about the depth. We're not going to go into it. I just don't. I don't even.
No, it's a full contrarian.
I arrive at that.
Yeah. You'd be like, "Hey, man, nice day." They'd be like, "Nah, it's shitty." You'd be like, "Okay."
Okay, thanks.
And here's why it's shitty. Here's why you're stupid. Oh, okay, got it. Great.
Yeah. So this series is pivotal. And then it's going to be interesting to see how things go because the Rockies go on the road to Anaheim where they'll take on the Angels and then to San Diego where they have a four-game series against the Padres. Parallels between that and the 07 team, they had that series. They never played well in San Diego. I mean, historically, they don't play well in San Diego, but that 07 team had a series in San Diego. Brad Hopp had a late extra innings home run against – who was that against? Like Clay Meredith or somebody who was just deadly against Brad Hopp?
Joe Thatcher,
that's who it was.
Yeah.
And the Rockies ended up, I think, sweeping that series.
They swept pretty much every series, didn't they?
Yeah, pretty much down the stretch.
I mean,
These are the pivotal stretches where you have to win against the good teams, but you also can't afford to stumble against the teams that don't seem as threatening on your schedule, and that's what they rescued themselves from today.
Yes, and that's been the problem with them, is that they have played very, very well against teams that are really good, and they've played very poorly against teams who are not.
Yeah.
So
that's not fun.
It's weird because usually it's the exact opposite. Right now the Rockies are 36-33 against teams that are 500 or better, and 33-24 against teams that are 500 or less. So like that seems including teams that are like, you know, exactly 500 right now, and that's obviously changed. That changes every day. But it's about winning series, and their series victories against teams that are under 500 are way less than their teams against teams that are 500 or better, and that's a problem. But, you know, it doesn't matter when you do it. It just matters that you can coalesce at the right time. And right now the Rockies are seemingly doing that.
And that's huge. And we'll see what the roster looks like coming up on September 1st. The Rockies will enter September against the Padres, and then they come home for a huge homestand, which is the Giants, the Dodgers, and the D-backs. That is a 10-game homestand from September 3rd through September 13th. Three against the Giants, three against the Dodgers, four against the D-backs. Then three against the Giants on the road, three against the Dodgers on the road, three against the D-backs on the road. And then they actually finish against the Phillies and the Nationals, which is kind of weird. So this division, like, if you want to make hay against divisional opponents in the division over the last few weeks of the season, you have to do it before the last week of the season, which is kind of strange. We're so used to this season, you know, every year finishing up against San Francisco, against Los Angeles, whatever. Not the case this year. They go out with seven straight against the National League East.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's very safe to say that that series, that homestand against the Dodgers, D-backs, and Giants could very well decide the season. You know, I think it's not crazy to say that. And we remember we said this last year about a late September road trip to Los Angeles and to Arizona. That was an 8-game road trip from September 7th to September 14th last year. All last year we talked about that's road trip could be the be all end all of the season. If they play well there, they'll probably make the playoffs. If they don't, they probably won't. On that road trip, they went 6-2, won the first six games, swept LA in four, won the first two in Arizona. And they, you know, that ended up holding on to win the wild card in, you know, late in that season. But
yeah,
that was the road trip they needed to play well on. And right now, this is looking ahead, that is the homestand that you've got to at least grab, what, six or seven? You know,
yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would certainly put you in maybe in pole position, hopefully in pole position to start closing in on a division title. I don't know, man. They are they're not showing any signs of going away.
It's fun, man. This is fun right now. Yeah,
this is pretty great right now.
You got to go to bed.
Yeah, it's late. I'm going to go to bed. But we wanted to record something this week. Next week is my last week on the road for a little while, so we'll be back to normal coming up in September, which is fantastic. Hopefully next week I'll have a little bit more normal schedule where we can knock out a full-length episode, and we'll do an Ask PDP because we haven't done that for a while.
No, we have
and,
not.
Yeah, we'll get it all put together. Sounds good. Sounds good, buddy boy.
Hell yeah. Go Rockies.
Go Rockies. Go Rockies, all of you.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we have some more fun this week and a lot of good stuff to talk about coming up next week. And until then, we'll talk to you later. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Dude, I love my tweet at the end when I said, after the home run, when I said, fuck the narrative, I'm naked and screaming. so Thomas true. Harding liked it.
That is amazing. Oh, my God.
I was like, I wonder if he meant to do that.